I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, February 23rd, 2023. And I need to get back to the Prince Hall Mason stuff while it's still Black History Month, so-called. Because it's going to be Ladies History Month next. Why isn't it Ladies History Month first? And then, that's patriarchy. That's misogyny. That's, just kidding. By the way, we have t-shirts, right? Get your t-shirts while they're hot or whatever. RBN needs your support. Order your RBN t-shirt today. Go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, and check it out. Also, you will find on the page that mentions the t-shirts the signed copy of James H. Billington's Fire in the Minds of Men, published in 1980. And that will be given out randomly on March 1st. Anyone who donates over $100 and requests being entered into the drawing will be eligible to win. So check that out. I want to play a little bit of the thing that I was talking about, the Glenn Beck deal, the ESG stuff. I don't think people really understand. It's time to seriously, if it's an economic game these people play, then it's time for people, despite the hardship of inconvenience, we must divest ourselves of these things. I mean, nothing new. I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily to buy the used items, but I mean, to buy the new things that are rolling off the assembly line from companies that are working tirelessly to our collective enslavement, or the eliminationist push that's in effect. I mean, can we not all generally agree that I don't care who you are or where you come into this discussion, something is terribly and desperately wrong at a minimum with the whole COVID response stuff. 5 to 10 years. Oh, no, this is a vaccine. We can just print one off in a computer real quick, and in 20 minutes, we got a vaccine. Yeah, but it's not tested, and even the vaccine overlords, Peter, Rachel, vaccines did not cause Rachel's autism, Hotez, even he says, hold on a second, we don't want to rush into this. And yet, we rush in, and there's complete immunity for everyone involved on the distribution and administration side, and no recourse for anyone on the other side of the deal. Is there not something terribly wrong with, if you're seeking complete impunity before you give the thing? Yeah, I'll fix your car, no problem. Just sign here and here and here and here and here. What's all this? Well, if it breaks or something happens, or if the repairs don't work out or whatever, or if it explodes and kills your whole family, we are, you know, it's just a hold harmless agreement. That's all. You know, there's no recourse. If the repairs that we try to make backfire and, you know, it doesn't work out, maybe kills you, maybe kills your whole family, not our fault. Even though it's probably all our fault, but it's not our fault. So just sign here and here and here and here. Initial here and here. Is there not something wrong? Where in life would you ever do that? Where would you do that, putting your potential health and even your life on the line? That's just insane. Who would do that? And yet that's what we've done. And we're seeing the, what is the last count was the VAERS submissions are up by like 4,400% or something. And it's not easy. Usually everything that hits VAERS bounces off. Most of the things are not allowed to be submitted for a variety of reasons. It's a very difficult system to be processed through, is what I understand. So what's happening? Anyway, before we play the Glenn Beck thing, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Mike in Kentucky. Mike, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I guess it was a rhetorical question when you ask how do you take the battery off of an iPhone? But if you'll indulge me a second here, and I'll try not to do a whole lot of detail on this, but this topic has been something that I've been out to expose since 1997. But can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
No.
I'm a little muffled,
no.
But could you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, the Faraday pouches that they sell at the U.S. Postal Service for your passport and for phones. I think I saw some 3 for $15 one time on one of those Amazon or somewhere. The problem is, just like when it's in your pocket or your purse, the audio is still, the phone can still hear the audio. And I saw probably 2016, 2017, rotating computer animation, the Samsung 6000 SUX with 6 microphones for better sound. So they could even triangulate, you know, phase cancellation noise and, you know, it'd record, I guess, beyond stereo surround sound or something with Dolby 5.1 or something. It had 6 microphones that they had admitted to. Now, there's a video of Snowden putting the phone motherboard on a heat pads where it melts the solder connections, and he's plucking off cameras and microphones off of a smartphone like they're cherries. So the solution is, and this will work with any phone, because I strongly suspect that even with Mr. Antivirus guy, what was his name, that hung himself supposedly in a prison in Spain?
John McAfee.
John McAfee was going to put out that phone. I heard the price point on it was going to be $700. He supposedly had a hard physical switch to disconnect the battery.
There were switches on the back, apparently, for all kinds of things, for the battery, for Wi-Fi, you know, for some other things that obviously...
The camera.
Yeah, and
well,
microphones
Microsoft
and stuff.
Microsoft put out a laptop, or what do they call those things? Something book. They put out a laptop. And the music on the commercial, you can find it on YouTube, was "I Think We're Alone Now." And it's a girl talking to her boyfriend, and they're doing a video chat, and she reaches down and flips a little white plastic switch, and it simply disconnects her video while she's chatting with her boyfriend because he announces something that she's celebrating, so she dances around. Well, that plastic switch only disconnected the feed. It didn't cover the camera. When you go back to the USB 1.0 cameras that they used to have from Intel, you had a hard plastic door you could slide across the camera lens.
Right.
So savvy people for a decade have been putting tape, Band-Aids, you know, little Spider-Man bandages on their child's tablet, you know, going back to the iPhone 1.
I take pictures of my stuff. I have those very things on everything that has a camera on it. Yep.
It took me 10 years for Stuart Shepherd to expose that.
Shepherd Smith?
I put a video out on all the ABC and NBC file transfer protocol, FTP files, all across this country for months when I had proof that these microphones were hot and I could hear inside of somebody's living room, and I happened to put it on tape. No reporter called me. And in 2009, I think that's when that video is from Stuart Shepherd.
Shepherd Smith.
He exposed that. The only other place I've seen Shepherd people Smith. Talk about that is the Pentagon Papers reporter. I'm trying to remember his name. He's talking with William Binney in a restaurant. And he asks William Binney, I hear that this thing can be recording us even when it's off. And he goes, yeah. And he moves immediately on to something else. I have my doubts about some of these whistleblowers, if they've been compromised and are simply steam valves. There's something called the hook bypass switch that goes back to the plain old telephone system that goes all the way back at least to the 1960s and maybe even further on back. So great-grandma with the milkman could be heard cavorting in the kitchen. Okay, so think about the blackmail potential there. It's depicted in a movie called Valkyrie. Tom Cruise, where they go into this Colonel Fromm's office, and he realizes what they're proposing is to get rid of Hitler, and he immediately reaches over and does a quick disconnect on his big old black desktop phone and says, you're not going to talk about this under this roof again. That's how long they've been spying on us. Voice to text from my sources goes back to the late 1960s, even with a heavy Eastern European accent. So the industrial espionage, blackmail, and extortion. And by the way, since at least 1979, the Israelis have been hooked in on this with the Talpiot program. By the 1990s, their software was given to them for the sessionizers that they sold back to the NSA through Boeing, called Naris and Barrett. So, I mean, this is the sort of thing I've been studying since I saw that movie. You referenced Enemy of the State with Will Smith and Gene Hackman. That didn't go far enough. That movie left out a lot of details, but I had proof in 1997 when I saw that movie on DVD. I didn't get to see it in the theaters. It lit a fire under my butt to say, look, they're just doing steam valve stuff here. This is, you know, they're releasing what people already know. And it made me a target. So, I mean, can't find a lawyer to save my life. William Binney's lawyer blew me off. Finally got a hold of him, one of them anyway, that actually responded to me. But it goes beyond a lot of people's ability to comprehend the level of what we're facing with artificial intelligence and automation, filing and sorting everybody. We've already got a social credit score just like Red China. I mean, you might as well. It's just a lot more subtle about what they're doing to us with the shadow ban and that sort of thing. I think it can even be done with phones, where you try to call your friends and you get a fast, busy signal. All circuits are busy now.
Well, that's one of the things that Shoshana Zuboff talked about in her C-SPAN Book TV interview. The clip we played earlier was from that, and it's titled Afterwards with Shoshana Zuboff. You can find it on C-SPAN for anyone interested. Published back. She did that back in 2019. But, you know, she says with these the endless battery of terms of service, I mean, literally infinity mirror of relationships that these companies have. You know, if it's a TV, she talks about, you know, a TV as an example for her, but, you know, for the say it's a TV, you buy a TV, and the manufacturer says, we may, you know, the data may be shared with third parties, and that third party may share data with third party, and so on and so on. And she says, basically, you know, it's like 1,000 terms of service agreements that you'd be looking at, and
unconscionable. They can't be comprehended. They're 40 foot long, written by teams of lawyers. The average user can't comprehend the terms of service.
Yeah, and it's there's a reason why when you see it, it's in a little tiny window. It's about they're all many pages long. It's in a little tiny window about the size of your thumb. If it's on your phone, it's literally the size of your thumb. If it's on a television or some larger screen, even on a desktop or whatever, some monitor, it's always in a little tiny window, and there's a reason for that.
Samsung got caught phoning home all their data to their home offices. Some guy did a man-in-the-middle thing and put a thumb drive in the Samsung smart TV 10 years ago at least, and he had a file on there labeled kiddie porn. It wasn't kiddie porn, but he was able to packet sniff the data going out of that Samsung TV, and that file was sent to their home office. So everything you do on a smart TV gets reported to somebody, if not your service provider, your cable TV provider. You know, there's a phone connection even on the old satellite dish receivers now, and that data gets phoned home at 2 o'clock in the morning for everything you've been flipping. Well, so the only solution is to block the signal somehow. You either have to only watch a one-way antenna TV on a dumb TV, or you have to put your phone in a metal box when you're not using it. Maybe put some styrofoam peanuts in there, little socks filled with rice to make, you know, white noise. And or when you're in the car, you can throw your phone up on the dash, turn the defogger or defrost fan on without heat. You'll ruin your phone if you use heat, but you can blow, you know, white noise air across that phone at home too if you're charging it. Put a little fan on it. Put a FM radio beside of it, tuned off to a different station or between channels, so you get white noise in all the microphones.
Then a lot maybe of that you stuff can be filtered out.
Well, to a certain degree, but you know, then maybe you can talk to your wife and have some privacy with your, you know, safe words.
Sure.
Long way to go to that punchline, but I'll let you go. There's a lot to know about the topic. All right.
Yep. Thanks, Mike. Much appreciated as always. Here's another wrinkle in the privacy discussion. I mean, the way that Shoshana Zuboff frames the discussion and characterizes what is going on, I think is, I mean, she's a great person to listen to. She's not hysterical or anything like that, but she voices legitimate concern. And the fact that data is being shared, our personal intimate details, whether or not, you know, indiscreet, it's very private information being shared endlessly to places we don't know, that is a tremendous concern that people have just sort of acclimated to. And I think there are people who are still concerned, but where are the alternatives? One of the things I thought about doing actually recently was starting a deal. You know, people use Proton Mail and things. I wonder how many of those things are honeypots themselves. I don't know. I haven't looked into it, but you know, you wonder. I wonder anyway. And so I thought about starting my own thing. And there was the talk that Andrew Rajé gave. It was the Digital Privacy Forum back in 2011 that C-SPAN covered, and Andrew Rajé spoke, and he mentioned Paul Ohm's 2009 research paper titled Broken Promises of Privacy, Responding to the Surprising Failure of Anonymization, which is an interesting read. Everyone should read it. And basically the whole point of the paper is through re-identification you can accomplish de-anonymization. And the way you do that, the way you re-identify, is by combining data sets or databases. And so what are we talking about here? You know, if you have Facebook and Google and the manufacturers of devices and things sharing all these data sets, there's virtually nothing about a person that's unknown. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Biden takes classified documents seriously. I'm Peter Serafine with this week's Liberty Minute and a reminder to use code LIGHTHOUSE at mystore.com to save money on American-made products from American companies. President Biden takes classified documents so seriously that he had at least one in his garage. Just for a minute, let's forget that a former vice president shouldn't have classified materials. Let's ignore the hypocrisy of Biden's statements regarding Trump having classified materials at Mar-a-Lago, where there are Secret Service. What I want to know is, why were attorneys clearing out an office at the UPenn think tank? Lawyers cost hundreds of dollars an hour. Two guys and a truck would have been infinitely cheaper. Were the lawyers there because they expected to find something like this? Maybe the attorneys were there just so that there would be attorney-client privilege in place. The presence of lawyers doing a job that a couple of teenagers could do is intriguing, to say the least. Now that the story is out, I have many questions, but the White House press secretary has refused to answer a single one put to her. Hopefully, the new special counsel will have better luck. Find more news and commentary at liberty-whitehouse.com. Until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3 for details.
I want to play a little clip before we go back to the phones real quick. And it's, you know, as is customary, we bounce around a little bit. I apologize. But Andrew Rajay, so here's what I was going to say. You know, and he said it best, and we played this, I don't know, 10 years ago, whatever it was. I mean, back in 2011, I remember seeing this and thinking, my goodness, that's, you know, why don't we all know about this? I mean, why doesn't everyone know and understand? And we just sort of anesthetize ourselves as we acclimate to the to the evil that is perpetrated, and we become accessories in a sense to criminal activity. Certainly immoral, certainly unethical. That's why you got to have all these ethics people. That's why we have ethics people everywhere now. It's unethical what's going on, but you need public relations people to assuage our troubled conscience while we're suicided. I mean, I think of the scene, the stabbing scene in Saving Private Ryan. That's what's going on. Shh, it'll all be over soon. It's okay. You know? We should play the intro to the, to Waffle Street. What we do is legal, therefore it's not unethical. If it was unethical, it would be illegal. Over and over and over and over and over. That's what the bioethicists and that's what they're there to do. It's a Bernaysian mind job. All right, little bit of Andrew Rajay speaking at the 2011 Digital Privacy Forum. Listen to this, please. Go ahead.
If you put a password on it, then you're protected not by they are not protected by the Fourth Amendment to be able to search you. You're protected by the First Amendment about not incriminating yourself, and you're not required to give them your passcode. But most people don't even think about these issues and don't really think about the impact of their lives as they click and link for convenience. Another important aspect of this, and those of you who are marketers know about this, is remarketing. How many times have you been on a website, looked at a pair of shoes or looked at a product, and then went off the site, went someplace else, and all of a sudden there pops up that pair of shoes staring you in the face again, chasing after you? Well, there's a number of companies, Rapleaf is one of them, that are doing massive amounts of data collection and are repackaging that data and selling it in the hopes of generating huge amounts of profits and creating convenience for you and for their customers. But personally identifiable information being stripped is a fallacy. I would highly recommend that you look up a University of Colorado professor by the name of Paul Ohm, H-O-H-M, who wrote a seminal piece about the fallacy of an anonymization and a database of ruin, where he points out that even though 87% of Americans don't have the same zip code, birth date, and sex, if you then add information about how they rated movies or what movies they rented on Netflix, 80% of the time the individual can be identified. The more databases are marked, the more re-identification is possible. And the more databases are merged, the stronger they become, and with each succeeding piece of information, more matches provide more clues to identity. Regulation can protect privacy only at great cost, because utility and privacy of data are intrinsically connected. No regulation can increase data privacy without also decreasing data utility. And as the utility of data increases, privacy decreases. To increase privacy means a reduction in values like innovation, free speech, and security. Privacy and security, in fact, are two completely different things. And sometimes all this data can be used for good. Google does searches now, allowing people to be able to sense when flu epidemics might be starting. And we all, love the convenience of having our basic information available when we visit a website. But every time we do, we give something up. Now, I want to digress here for a second just to talk a little bit back, go back to talk about WikiLeaks just for a moment.
We're headed into a break, but what do we give up? People don't think about that. It's amazing. It's absolutely astonishing. In the name of absolute and total convenience. And, the technocrats know that. In the name of convenience, we will be seduced into our own slavery. Stick around, grab back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is, Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Problem is not, you know, nothing to hide, nothing to fear. That's a straw man. The real problem, as John and Nisha Whitehead put it in their Rutherford Institute article, the real problem, as they put it, as French philosopher Michel Foucault concluded, you know, alluding to or referring back to Jeremy Bentham's work, as Foucault concluded in his 1975 book, Discipline and Punish, visibility is a trap. It's a mind trap. And you don't realize it's happening. Your behavior is being altered. And for us as Americans to believe that freedom is a sine qua non and the best way perhaps to sort of quantify that or articulate it, I think, is maybe how Hayek put it in The Road to Serfdom, Chapter 1, The Forgotten Road, The Abandoned Road, excuse me. The essential features of that individualism which, from elements provided by Christianity and philosophy of classical antiquity, was first fully developed during the Renaissance and has since grown and spread into what we know as Western civilization, are the respect for the individual man qua man, that is, the recognition of his own views and tastes as supreme in his own sphere, however narrowly that may be circumscribed, and the belief that it is desirable that men should develop their own individual gifts and bents. I mentioned earlier that guy who was president who said, you know, he talked about the fact that no war has been declared, no borders have been crossed, no marching troops or missiles have been fired, but we are at war. Our way of life is under attack. And he concluded that speech by saying that speaking of the press, the keeper of man's conscience and the courier of his news, he said, we look to those folks for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent. And so this is, you might say, in a sense, a quintessentially American ideal. And this is directly under threat by this kind of technology. The idea that I was thinking about, I haven't really looked around, it just dawned on me, why don't we do this? One of the things that Andrew Rajet mentioned, there was a story, I forget the guy who, I forget the subject of the story, but there's a guy, the FBI was following apparently, and the guy ends up basically publishing all of his personal information, and the point of the story was to overwhelm the database. Finally, the FBI just left him alone because there was nothing to find. Hassan Alahi, I think, was his name. Anyway, another perspective on that is to corrupt the database. And how do you do that? You offer it all kinds of false information. And so, before Facebook came along, the big coup with Facebook was you have to authenticate yourself, which is a weird concept. But, you know, you have to provide authentic details, your real name and that kind of stuff. And Facebook wants to make sure you do that. Why is that? No personas, so to speak. Before that, there was social media. There was MySpace, obviously, which was wildly popular. But you didn't have to provide any, you know, the real you. Facebook has leaped that bound and now encourages in different ways people to provide all kinds of stuff, you know, date of birth and phone number and all that kind of stuff. Super convenient, obviously. Why would you do it if it wasn't? So some of us still think, you know, and if you don't provide authentic stuff, then Facebook says, oh, yeah, no, you can't play. You can't play the game here. So some of us still think that it's not a bad idea to corrupt the database, as it were. And if you can offer false bits of information, like if you're going to sign up for a movie service, why do they need to know your date of birth? Well, they don't want to show you, you know, indiscreet material. Now they're indiscriminate as far as they're equal opportunity offenders, all of the streaming services, with the content that they serve up to anybody. It's a joke. It's not that. So the answer is pretty obvious. It gets back to what we're talking about here. Information that is none of their business to have. So why not provide incorrect information? Well, you know, that might be, I mean, why not? So my idea was, why not have a place where you could keep track of personas? Something online, maybe, you know, a server, just something simple where you can, you know, this is the information that I provided to whatever. All of it, you know, I was born on January 1st, 1980. Congratulations. And, you know, incorrect information in all of them. And have that, you know, I don't know if anybody's doing that. I'm sure the big tech companies probably don't want to do that. But, you know, that and a few other features, I think there are people who would want to do that. But there's nothing like that. We are sort of herded mentally into a cattle chute, and it's a very narrow chute, and it's narrowing all the time. And I think that it's time for people in America to really wake up and weigh the cost of convenience, because I think it's too high a price to pay. Back to the phones. Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, it's good you're doing all this. Good morning. I only call because I've heard you say more than once that you can't get a Faraday cage. Well, you didn't say for how big a thing you needed, because you can go to Amazon and get all kind of small ones, like for just your cell phone and your keys, or one for your laptop and your tablets and cell phone and keys.
Sure. They're out there. You can find them. They're just not readily available. You don't find them at the Verizon store or Walmart, mm-hmm. or where you usually find, let's say, those devices. Generally, they're not as prolific and widely available. And there's a reason mm-hmm. for that. It's because all that telemetry data is valuable, and all the other data is valuable.
Well, I don't do social media, so... If I get a preacher, a church, or something that says go to Facebook, I have to write them off. but another thing, too, I'm a Band-Aid on the camera, on a cell phone, of course. Mm-hmm. But I always figured they have something out there that would just cover up that thing. But they change them all so fast, they can't, you know, but anyway. I told you about one time people will call in, they'll ask the question, and they don't get it answered. And I said if we could get Signal, and everybody tell people to go and look you up on Signal. But now that's run by GoOgle employees now. You know, it's supposed to be encrypted.
mm-hmm.
Well,
yep.
Well, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, they're changing it around until you can't remember how to use it. I mean, it's just like your phone, you know. You never know if you're going to be able to use it when you pick it up.
mm-hmm.
That was
kind of the point that I didn't make. I failed to make with Mike, you know, with those endless terms of use or terms of service. Shoshana Zuboff's point was, they say you can opt out of that, but they say in the terms that, you know what, your device might not work properly, and it might, you know, and so when you're talking about your home, maybe, you know, the home thermostat systems and things that they're doing now with the smart homes, and maybe your heat won't turn on, and maybe things will break, and so you can sign it or basically be held hostage.
I think when they tell me that the page I'm going to is suspect, that's the one I want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing, too, somebody told me in the Philippines that they weren't around their home for quite a few months, and they went back and everything was rusted up. But that all got to working, or they got it straightened up. But except their Samsung refrigerator, it still doesn't work.
That's the other thing. The irony is that planned obsolescence has things wearing out. And I still think that maybe an upside is you go to some place like Pendrive Linux and keep all that old hardware around and run an older Linux distro on it, and it works just fine.
Oh, Lytics, okay, yeah. Well, I've got old enough to keep a whole bunch of stuff here, or somewhere in storage, but, well, I guess I need to let somebody else on, but I hear that there's a new word out there for the cryptocurrency. It's called cryptocurrency thievery. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, encrypted. In other words, you know, whatever. I hope they don't try to make us do that, because we'll spend a lot of time bartering, I know. It'll be so many people bartering, how can they say, you can't do that, that's illegal. Right? Are you there?
I'm not following you, but...
Maybe I've been up all night. I better just let it go.
Well, I hope you get some sleep, Pat. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it, as always.
I sleep after Julie goes home.
All right.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Pat. Much appreciated. Back to the phones. Lynn and Marilyn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Actually, stay off those devices when you want to go to sleep, because they'll keep you awake.
Yeah, absolutely.
Proven fact.
You know, and that's another thing with the Faraday cages. I mean, stick it in it so it doesn't transmit, for Pete's sake.
Well, you know, that's one of the things in that hearing last week that the guy from whatever his organization was said to turn your router off at night. Well, that doesn't do the trick with cell phones. I mean, I have a friend out in L.A., he's never paid for internet service. He uses some woman's internet service, and I was like, do you know her? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, I hope she's not getting charged by, you know, time or, you know, so much, you know, whatever.
I
was like,
I know
that's stealing, and he's in 12-step stuff.
I know of a, that's interesting. You know, what kind of proclivities is she, you wonder what kind of search things she's getting. Anyway, maybe we'll get into...
think about,
you know,
that, like what he's searching for, and it's now under her stuff.
Well, if it's going through her router.
You know, like a router,
right.
I remember learning... your router, if somebody has a router, it is actually able to be used during an emergency to communicate with you both ways. Yep. So your router even has a speaker and a microphone. And I love Svana Zuboff's book, Age of Surveillance Capitalism. And one of the other things about terms of service is they can be changed at any time on the fly. You're never going to know it. We didn't read it anyway. But they all say in the terms of service that they can be changed. You know, like think about DNA things for ancestry or something.
So what do you think? What do you think about my idea of a service where... you know, you can one place that is not big tech, that you can keep track of personas. You know, like maybe you register.
I don't think,
you know, with an email that's like a throwaway email. Basically,
I don't think you can out-trick AI. It's not even about us anymore. What I'm looking at as a Christian now is that anything I would do online or even offline. Because I'm not online and I don't have a cell phone, but there's so much else that it's just feeding AI, you know, and it's generative. It's learning, and anything like computers now are not even sold with hard drives in them.
Yeah, but it's
everything's stored in the cloud, and we don't own it.
Right. There are, you know.
You could get an external hard drive. Yeah, I get all that. But
there are boundaries. You know, it doesn't... one of the interesting things, speaking of artificial intelligence, not to get sidetracked, but you can, for anyone interested, Mike Cernovich wrote a piece recently, earlier this month, HateBot, ChatGPT shows you the evil within big tech, and I actually wrote a piece that's on, or republish a deal that's on RBN about this, but not exactly like this. There was the, what is it? I think Dan, the evil chatbot GPT twin, but yeah. His article, Cernovich's article, is about the basically, you know, the racist, biased perspective. And we've done lots of shows, talked to, about lots of articles about how AI is always racist and it's always biased and it's biased toward a particular group of folks, and they use, you know, their tweets in Cernovich's article about folks, you know, saying to ChatGPT things like, write me a poem about the redeeming qualities of Donald Trump, and it says, I can't do that because I'm not politically biased. And then they say, you know, the same thing about Joe Biden. If you can believe these things, that these, you know, people actually did this, then seems to be a clear indication. But you know, it demonstrates the fallibility, shall we say, of the technology because of the way it's programmed. And so because of that, there is a certain myopia that even AI usually adheres to. And because of that, you know, like I said, I think corrupting the database is one of the things that, I don't know, is, you know, why give people an any advantage that are trying to do bad things. And I would call these bad things. Spying and, you know, surveillance capitalism, in my opinion, is evil, period.
But it's been going on for a long time now. And the other part of that is the whole Skinner conditioning that she points out in her book. The mm-hmm. same way, like you brought up, that if you know you're being surveilled, we yeah. act differently. Well, that's yep. you and
visibility
me.
Visibility is a trap.
That's not next generations. Because next generations are willing to give up their freedom to live on that IKEA futon in their little tiny, tiny house, you know?
Right.
And not have a car, not have freedom. They've already lowered IQ points, yeah. what, 30 points per generation in the past three generations. Boys' brains are smaller. What does that say? I mean, they just, now talk about lowering the bar, they're getting it from both ways. So, you know, think about where the equilibrium's going to be. And because people aren't aware of what is going on, like medical records, we think we're protected under HIPAA. And now I can't remember what it was, but there is something that we give our information to, or like, let's say people have like a cycle track app. Well, none of that is protected. And so when AI, because it's not some guy sitting in his basement looking at the spreadsheet or the database or doing a query, it's AI putting it all together. If they did a query on you, but they're doing a query on all of us and playing us and conditioning us. Now, those of us who know it, but most people are willing to give up their freedom. The best thing about that hearing was a week ago Tuesday in the Senate Judiciary Committee was the reaction that the people on the panel had to Josh Hawley's suggestion. And I never thought I'd agree with Josh Hawley about anything. And I actually do about just upping the age for social media 16, where you'd have to make it gaming too and get wireless
yeah,
out of schools.
It's a bigger problem than that. It doesn't stop or start there.
But the people on the panel, the psychiatrist, yeah. psychologist, the mother whose son committed suicide, when it was suggested just to raise that age, it's like suggesting to people to stop using their cell phone.
Yeah, it's bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. That's not a solution. Anyway, I'm gonna agree to disagree with you there. We got other calls, Lynn. I appreciate it.
Okay.
As always, much appreciated.
Thank you, Chris.
Much bigger.
Yeah, I agree
back to the
with
phones.
You.
Back to the phones, Patrick in Texas. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, Mike.
Good morning, sir.
Me there. He man is very knowledgeable. He's an activist, no doubt. But I cheer every activist in different types. We've got people that stand and do audits and go in there or walk into a public building and try to film. And they always being engaged and trying to be arrested and stuff like that. And, you know, it's like you go talking about that, and it's like some people like in you could call a sovereign citizen or old French flag nut. And my God, man, where have you been hiding under a rock? You know, I thought everybody knows about this stuff by now. It's not, there's nothing unusual. All these conspiracy facts are pretty much out in the open now. You know, let's quit being stupid, you know, and keep and stop following CNN and everything. Yeah, that, I think that speech you said, like, missiles, my missile's been fired. That's JFK, if I'm not mistaken. You know, we are the enemy by guerrillas by night, not armies by day. It has vast resources. I'm pretty sure that's who done that. He's about the only one who would say something like that. I need to go back and read his speech again. But yeah, it's just, there's so much we know now. It's just unbelievable. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Is your cell phone data being compromised? But the court system we just found out. That stuff's all being about profit. The judges get a percentage of it. The prosecutor gets a percentage. Even now, we found out the sheriff gets a cut of it too. And it's all coming out of the Federal Reserve and the IMF. How can you be something like that when it was being incentivized with money? You can't. You know, it's like a cop on the beat. He gets over $100,000 a year. If he contributes to all these, DWI stops and everything like that, there's huge money. And they run the Congress.
No municipality can run based on the inflation rate these days. They can't collect enough taxes. So how are they going to supplement? There are purse strings federally, obviously, and these kickbacks and things, as what I would call them, what you're talking about. I mean, there were what's his name used to tell us we should all be looking at our local CAFRs, our comprehensive annual financial reports, and seeing where the money's coming from. And then that should beg the discussion. You know, I keep seeing these things all over the country where, you know, there's a housing crisis, there's a this crisis in every municipality across the land. The problem is the Federal Reserve, folks, period. This network has been a beacon forever from its founding to say that's the problem. The problem is not inflation. The problem is the Federal Reserve, because that's where the inflation comes from, period.
Yep. Okay, I'll let you go. I just want to point out that this is a big – it's not just that. It's a much broader issue than that. It's the courts. It's the capper. It's everywhere. And thank you for Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick. Much appreciated. Yeah, it's a place to start, though. You know, and as far as the kids are concerned and social media, where are the parents? Parents are allowing it. And we live in a society where parents are afraid to parent. Do you remember a time when children were spanked? I do. I was spanked as a child. And guess what? I lived. It's amazing. Some of us used to get, you know, we get our fair share of spankings. I've told stories about that on the air. These days, oh my goodness, you try to discipline a child or whatever, you might be a child abuser. Meanwhile, the real child abusers go scot-free. Bill Gates, say his name. Rick Allen Jones, say his name. I dare you, Bill Gates. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and Oklahoma.
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
Let's put my arms around you, and we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven, just you and me. This feels like heaven.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.